So good morning again. It's kind of significant, so I'm going to remind you the title of today's sermon, Forgiving the World That Offers No Apology. I noticed an email tagline recently with this thought from 19th century writer and poet Archibald MacLeish. He says, "Democracy is not something for a nation to do, but something a nation must always be doing. Democracy is not something for a nation to do, but something a nation must always be doing." So I've made the connection between democracy and this tradition we practice, this Unitarian Universalist tradition previously. You may remember Divinity School professor of mine, in response to asking me what tradition I represented when I said Unitarian Universalism, and he said, "That's an interesting experiment." And I equated that quickly in my own mind with democracy, right? An interesting experiment. So here again, MacLeish draws a parallel in my mind. Democracy is something a nation must always be doing. So too, religion, Unitarian Universalism or otherwise. And by religion, I mean the endeavor to be as fully human, as fully present to our existence as possible, to be reconnected, the root of the word religion, religare, to our fullest essence. That is religion. That is soul work. And despite our penchant for taking the summers off from Sunday morning worship, the religious endeavor is not an academic year pursuit. It is a daily challenge, something we must always be doing. It is our biggest job. And as far as I can tell, it is the only way to even begin the effort to forgive a world that offers no apology. When have you been disappointed by life? And note that I did not say if. At what points have you struggled? How often have you felt that something was not fair or not right or certainly not deserved by you or someone you loved? That is life. That is the world we are born into and in which we live and have our being as we understand it. And it offers no apology, not to you or to me or to anyone. And if we don't figure out how to reconcile that reality or how to be busy trying on a regular basis, we are going to be some kind of very sad. Journalist Sidney Harris wrote, "There's no point in burying a hatchet if you're going to put up a marker on the site." Forgiveness, true forgiveness, is quiet inner work. Marcia sang us the hymn by the Rivers of Babylon this morning for our offertory. "By the rivers of Babylon where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion, the good life. For the wicked carried us into captivity and then required us to sing. But how can we sing in this strange, strange place?" It's a biblical reference, that reminds us of when the Israelites were banished from Jerusalem and sent into exile and gathered at the river's edge, a place unfamiliar to them, driven from their native country, stripped of every comfort and convenience, in a strange land among idolaters, wearied and brokenhearted, they sit in silence by hostile waters. It may feel familiar. And how can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? How can we reconcile ourselves to the things that disappoint us or discourage us or prove to us? Oh my goodness, they prove to us that we are not in charge. Some evil sends us out of our comfort zone in whatever way we have experienced it, lays us down by a foreign river and says, go ahead, sing. Earlier this week, I listened to a podcast from the Krista Tippett site on being. It was one of the Creating Our Own Lives series. The acronym is COOL. It was about perspectives on humor, which was referred to as a tool for survival. A rabbi named Amichai Lau Lavi describes his experience as a young comedian channeling the persona of a drag queen. An aged Hungarian widow of six illustrious rabbis who offers sexual advice to the ultra-Orthodox elite. Somehow this character came to him. Her name was Hadassah Gross, and her existence allowed him the freedom to live his reality. He was a young, progressive, gay Jewish man in a conservative and not very welcoming world. Humor, he says, blurs the line between funny and serious. When he and his father, who was a Holocaust survivor with quite a dramatic story of his own, made a trip to Yad Vashem, which is the holy site of Holocaust remembrance, they noticed a poster. And the name on the poster, Hadassah Gross. And they laughed together. It was, he recounted, deep laughter in the place of the deepest pain. Another comedian in the series of interviews was Sam Sanders, who's an On Being podcast host. Humor gives me connection, he said. If I can laugh with you, I can see you. Out of laughter comes love. He left us with this observation. Whenever you think you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, stop, take a deep breath, and remind yourself that that's not how gravity works. Historian and Professor Timothy Snyder has a new book out called On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. He suggests every day you don't do something, it makes it less likely that you will ever do something. So you've got to get started right away. In his book, he's talking about the political risk of our present administration, and how we must engage in resisting the threat it represents to our collective freedom. Every day you don't do something, it makes it less likely that you will ever do something. One could apply this wisdom across the board, of course, not least to the idea of forgiving our imperfect world, our imperfect, unapologetic world. Every day you don't forgive it, Every day you allow your expectations to fly in the face of experience, the less likely you will ever forgive it. And a whole life is a long time to live imagining things to be other than they are. I don't mean to encourage complacence or resignation. I mean to encourage engagement. It is our relationship to life that informs our capacity to hold it and ourselves with understanding and with patience and with as much grace as we can muster, ultimately with some capacity to forgive. The sidelines is no place to learn what that feels like. I was reading some Father's Day missives yesterday. So once again, for all the fathers among us, happy Father's Day. One of the notes I was reading was about a Hmong woman who, as a child, fled the mountains of Laos, growing up in America. She learns it is her father's poverty and powerlessness that has equipped her with three guiding lessons in life. You can be poor and raise a loving family. Your vulnerability is your grace, and you do not have to be powerful to live a powerful story. Our lives, each of our lives, are story, each and every one. How we craft them and share them, how we frame the blessings and the tragedies, is what determines our days. Annie Dillard reminds us how we spend our days, of course, is how we spend our lives. In addition to a dose of humor and a lot of engagement, I hope each of us will spend some time this summer thinking about our stories and how we intend to share them going forward. I hope we take some daily moments to reconnect ourselves, the religious impulse that gives us the pause to reflect, to wonder, to appreciate, to sit in awe, even as we struggle. And finally, no matter how much or little we appreciate or have confidence in our individual voices or don't, I hope we each sing. Really, may you each sing a new song this summer, even in the face of whatever evil has cast its shadow. Let us forgive the world, forgive ourselves, forgive each other. For what is the point of holding on? Let us raise our voices and celebrate this life so that when we come back together on September 10th, we will have stories to share. Sing from the mountaintop if that's where you are. Sing from the seashore. Sing from your kitchen sink, your desk, not least your bathroom shower, and even perhaps at Wednesday evening vespers. We are not gone to each other over the summer. We only take a different pace. It is the fallow time to enrich our soils. So enjoy it, find humor in it, engage with it, sing about it, and come back to share your story. One final thought from citizen and businessman Paul Bess. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. May it be so.